Tonight's going to be Bible drill night in a way. Seldom do I get to come and deliver a prepared message. But this one, he's been preparing it all day. I was hoping to print this document out and to have enough to give to everybody. But the document kept evolving right up till we left the house. What I will do when this lesson is posted at my website, we'll have this one out there on the side as a PDF. So you'll be able to download it and print it if you like. It's simple. How many of you know God loves us? Did you know he made his power available to us all? You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a college graduate. You don't have to even be a high school graduate. His power is available. And you go, well, that sounds good, Brother Gary, but have you seen my life? It's somewhat of a wreck. You know, I've got this problem, that problem, you know. You know, as you go through the four Gospels, you find Jesus. Well, you can go ahead and be turning to Matthew 6. We'll start there. You'll find Jesus, his pattern was to go about city to city. Three things. It says he was teaching the kingdom of God, preaching, and then healing the sick. So I like to say it this way. Teaching the kingdom, teaching about the kingdom of God so they'd understand. Then he would preach, which means it's a different from teaching. You're exhorting now. You're persuading the people to believe. Now believe this, act on this. But then he would demonstrate. And see, the whole world is waiting for demonstration, to be honest with you. That's our mission here at the prayer center, is to go far enough into God where we can not only teach, not only preach, but we can demonstrate in manifestation of the Spirit and in power. What he's doing tonight, this message is not by any means, it's not exhaustive, but this is what I like to call a macro teaching, not a micro. We're not going to get into the Greek of the Greek and the tenses and the verbs and all of that. I like that kind of teaching. It's very good. What we're going to look at tonight is how you can, on purpose, pretty well receive anything you might need from your Heavenly Father and get it every time without exception. I'm going to call this one Manifesting the Kingdom of God. Now, by the gifts of the Spirit, you're already a candidate to bring revival anywhere God sends you. And when the gifts are in operation, if you're born again, you've got a sensitive, an obedient heart to do whatever he tells you. Listen, you can bring miracles by the gifts anywhere already. But what we're talking about is, like I've said so often, Jesus did not go about, his mental attitude was not, boy, I hope the gifts of the Spirit are operating in me today. You know, he was the full-blown manifested Son of God, co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. He would come up like a waiter in a fine restaurant, you know. He would offer you the menu of God. You know, he'd say, what would you have me do for you? And it's like he's holding out a menu, you know, do what you need. You have blind, you need sight? What do you, you know, blood pressure problem? You know, are you bowed over? What do you need from God? That's what we need to be able to demonstrate to the whole world. But the Holy Spirit was dealing with me, preparing this message. See, first, it doesn't have to be this way, but it probably should be this way. First, we need to have the kingdom of God manifested in our own life, then manifested in our family, then manifested to the world. First in Judea, then to Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. You'll be his witness. So really tonight, these things, I'm going to do a macro teaching. I'm going to lead you through the logic of the Lord. That would be a good title too. But the logic of the Lord, how simple and straightforward he has made this. And I want to preface it with this. I thought this would come much later in the teaching. Here's a homework assignment for you. Go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John yourself and see if you can find one time where Jesus put a requirement on someone before he healed them. Now, he gave an assignment to one guy, I remember. He had him go and you know, he made mud and put on the guy's eyes and had him go wash. But I'm talking about the kind where you got to repent. you got to, you know, this or that. Here's one for you. And by the way, I believe totally in forgiving. Y'all know I teach about it all the time, but you won't find it where he says, well, you have to forgive first. The pattern I find, this is how good your God is. See, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if we see how he did it, then we know how the Father does it. And it was always, the pattern was the same. I'll heal you. Go and sin no more. Isn't that right? Go and sin no more. I can't find it. I've looked. I've hunted. Now, right on the other hand, and we're not even into the lesson yet now, but right on the other hand, those were all spiritually dead people in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were very unaccountable when it comes to the kingdom of God things. They had the law. That's all they knew. Okay? They did not have the nature of God on the inside. But right on the other hand, Jesus said, if you want to see the Father, look at me. So my faith is, he'll heal me and then straighten me out. You hear what I'm saying? You're not hearing what are you, hello? Hello? He'll heal you. See, what do you find when you go to that boldly to the throne of grace? It says when you come there, you're going to find two things. Mercy and grace to help in your time of need. It does not say that first you will find instruction. Hello? It doesn't say that. It says, no, you find mercy. Why mercy? Because you're probably wrong about stuff. None of us are perfect. Every blessed one of us, nobody is earning nothing from God. Get it straight. What you get first at that throne, thank God, is mercy. And then you get grace to help in your time of need. Now, does that mean you can just avoid instruction? No, it does not. He has instruction for you. See, that, to that one guy, he says, now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. He'll heal you, he'll fix you, he'll set you straight. But if you don't, sometimes if you don't change, then even a worse thing's going to come upon you. Well, we'll get to that later. All right, you find Matthew 6. Now, this lesson is going to be called Manifesting the Kingdom of God. I want you to follow the mind of Christ, the logic through this, the way he has laid it out for us in the Scriptures. This is Matthew 6, 9 through 13 is what I'm after here, which is the Lord's Prayer. We could also look at Luke 11. It's also over there. And I've taught about the two different breads. You know, he mentions, give us this day our daily bread. Well, here in Matthew 6, he's talking about you coming to the place where you trust God yourself for you, your needs, your family. Over in Luke 11, when he's teaching on the Lord's Prayer, he's really focusing there, more like the mission of the prayer center, how to serve bread from the Father's table to other people. In other words, you get healed, then you go serve healing to others. Matthew 6 is you get healed. Luke 11 is go heal others. You got it? All right. But the whole purpose is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So let's just read it. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now notice, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, well, that'd be really great, Brother Gary, if I knew what his will was. I have a homework assignment for you. If you want to know the Father's will, you don't have anything else to do. And if you don't know his will, you need to assimilate Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Till Jesus, there's an image of Jesus that like stands up on the inside of you that is unshakable. You see what he does in every situation where he comes. Because what he does, that is the Father's will. He says, again, my favorite verse in the Amplified, I didn't bring it with me, but John 5:30, he says, he doesn't do anything of his own accord, of his own will. He's totally submitted to the will of the Father who sent him. So what he does, that's the Father's will. Well, what in every case, what does he do? He heals. He delivers. He blesses. He turns water into wine. He Every time you see that, that's the Father's will. And you can know it. So, assignment one, if you're always wondering what his will is, assimilate Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you're new, around here we use the word assimilate, meaning you need to read it over and over and over again, not taking time during this assignment to maybe look up every Greek word and all of that. Just get it in you. Just get it in you. You're equipping yourself for day and night meditation. Dave has a whole series. Now we're going to do macro. See, this is what I mean by macro. I'm going to stay on this logic trail that he gave me. Now, in order for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done, he has sent his word. The reason that we can have faith is God will not break his covenant, neither will he alter the thing that has gone out of his mouth. That's why you can have faith. His word. If he said it, you've got it. Because he does not change. He does not lie. Now, go ahead and turn to Isaiah 55. And I really recommend you write these down. Just at least the references. I'm going to post this document where you can just print it easily. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. For me, this is Jane C. the Ball when it comes to his word. Jesus basically is teaching from this platform when he gets over to Mark 4, which we're going to look at here in a little bit, about the sower sows the word. But Isaiah, really, he laid the foundation work here for what Jesus taught in Mark 4. This is how the word works every time. Now, I have a statement here that you can write down if you want or later. Regarding Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, I said, the image of God's will is within his word. You got that? The image of his will is within his word. Your healing is in his word. Your deliverance is in his word. Your prosperity is in his word. And his word will produce that image every time without exception if you learn how to nurture it. There's no respecter of persons. You know, that this is simple. Corn will grow. The corn makes no distinction. Does it? The corn makes no distinction. There's an image in every seed of corn of a full corn stalk. And if you plant it and nurture it, it will grow. I'm trying to get past your religious brain because the devil has and religion has done a good job teaming up with him, giving you all 98 excuses why you're not healed or why you're not prospered. Or why you're not delivered. Or why you're still addicted. Well, it's because of this and it's because of that. His word contains your answer. It's there. Plant it. And the Holy Ghost is your teacher. If there are obstacles along the way, if you'll learn how to listen to him, he'll get you past those. But we got to get past the... I'm telling you right... He's about done with excuses. Now, he loves us, don't get me wrong. But this church is and that means you if you're listening, way too accountable to be putting up with a lot of stuff we're putting up with. I'm preaching to me now, okay? I'm just preaching to me. You can take a moment off. He's been getting on to me. Why are you putting up with that back pain, Gary? Why? Well, I had polio when I was 5. You know, 61 years ago I've had this, you know. And he says, and that negates my power. How? What have you been saying? Which scriptures are you standing on, Gary? Well, and other areas of my life, okay? So he gets on me, I get on you. That's the deal. Let me say this again. The image of God's will is within his word. It will produce that image without exception if, and this has to do with the soil, if you know how to plant it and nurture it unto harvest. Let me read it. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. This is Jane, see the ball. God's trying to get it down so low that anybody can understand this. He says, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither but waters the earth. So it's like, have you ever seen rain? What happens when it comes down? It waters the earth. Okay. And it makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He says, you've seen that, right? You've seen the rain come down, and the rain falls on the seeds, and the seeds germinate, and pretty soon you've got a crop. Yeah, I've seen that, God. I've seen that. He says, my word is just like that. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Now get it, get this. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Well, that's the problem, Brother Gary. I just don't know what it is that pleases him. Now we're back to your first assignment. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because Jesus didn't do anything that didn't please the Father. He is the will of the Father with legs. He's the will of Father in action. You can see him. Okay? He sent his word and healed them. All right? Well, I've already said this one. This is the third point. To know God's will, look at Jesus. And here's your reference, John 14, 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. You know, I didn't for years. I grew up in church. My image of God, because I just listened to what they taught me. Here's my image of God. You never knew what he was going to do. Every time we prayed for anybody that was sick, we always added that on the end, if it be thy will. I listened to him, and my image of God that I come away with was, you know, he'll save you, but he wants you poor. You know, and if you get prideful, he might just put some kind of terrible disease on you. So you wind up in a hospital, got nowhere to look but up. Oh yeah, I've heard all of those kind of things. That's the image I got from preachers. You will not get that image from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You will not get that image from Jesus. If you will stay in those until that image rises up on the inside of you, you can know the Father's will in virtually every situation you come up against. Amen. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I don't see Jesus doing anything but healing folks. I don't ever see him putting sickness on nobody. I don't ever see him closing down anybody's business. I don't ever see him doing anything but healing and blessing and teaching and helping. That's the Father. That's your Father. This next one is in Isaiah 52. You don't have to turn to all these. You can if you want to. But Isaiah 52, verse 10. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Now, I taught on this a couple of services ago, and it's called something like How God Bared His Holy Arm. It has to do with the cross. That is that chapter where it says God bared his holy arm and all the nations of the earth have seen it. It talks about Jesus on the cross where his visage was marred more than any man. There is no doubt it's talking about everything Jesus accomplished at the cross. Right there is where God bared his holy arm in the sight of the nations to end every damnable thing the devil has ever done to man. Right there it is. And that power, that I like to ask the question. I did it during that. I said, no matter how big your problem is, I don't care what your problem is. I mean, maybe it's really, really, really bad. If suddenly you could see God walking towards your situation and he's rolling up his sleeve, bearing his holy arm. Now, whatever problem you got, honey, when he gets there and he uses the strength of that arm against your problem, who's going to win that fight? It's over, isn't it? Well, that leads us to the next one here. The power of God's bare arm is revealed to a certain people and a certain people only. That's the very next chapter in Isaiah, Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed our report? What report? He just got through talking about the Messiah on the cross, bearing our sicknesses, carrying our pains, taking our place, becoming our sin on that cross. That's where the bare arm of God. And he says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's to those who will believe that report. That's why Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Believe that report. Your Redeemer lives, glory to God. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. All right, you go back to Mark. I told you it's Bible drill night. Mark chapter 4. So we've seen so far. Let me summarize so far. We want God's kingdom to come and His will be done in your life, your family, and then we're going to move on to other families. First, you get the bread yourself, and then you start serving the bread to other people. Eventually, we're going to be in revival. We're going to serve the bread to nations. You hear me? They're going to serve that bread, the bread of God, to nations from our Father's table. His word contains the power to manifest His will in every situation. To know God's will, look at Jesus. And He bared His holy arm at the cross. Everything, that power is not based on you. It is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, if we will believe that report. Hallelujah. Now, Mark 4. And here I wrote above this one, the manifestation of power. Everyone say the manifestation of power. Manifestation. Let's say it another way. His power revealed. Say it this way. His power seen. His power seen. Say it this way. His power demonstrated. His power demonstrated. It's no more complicated than planting and nurturing the word. That's what Jesus said in Mark 4. He said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of them. This is how the kingdom of God operates. Mark 4, verses 26 through 29. So he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. I wonder what that seed would be now. Come on. His word. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Let me add to it, you don't need to know how. The power is in the word. The seed is always good. Your job is to keep it in the ground. That's keep it in you. Hello, ground. For the earth, let's say the ground, you, God, that new nature you have, it bringeth forth fruit of herself. Your spirit is designed to operate with the word of God, that it will first bring forth the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest is come. In other words, the manifestation has occurred. In your body, in your finances, your loved one got saved, whatever it was you were standing for. Your children finally came to themselves. We ministered on that one last week out of Isaiah 49, verses 24 and 25. He will contend with him that contends with you, and he will save thy children. Man, the power that's in his word, that sustained us through some dark hours, really dark hours. But he manifested his word just like he said he would. So how does it work? You take his word and you plant it. Now right here, I'm tempted to go off on things that you already know. How do you plant it, Brother Gary? I know how I've planted it. I hate to tell you that's how you have to do it. I just know how I've done it. In my case, I get it in my heart by getting it in my mouth. I say it, and then I say it. And after that, then I say it, and then I say it. and then I say it again, and then I say it, and then I say it. And now I have learned to add hope with that confession. Don't have time to get into that, and it's really not on this path tonight. I'm telling you right now, the word spoken in faith will produce every time. Now, in the beginning of confession, when you're beginning to do that, you're really ministering to your own soul. You're convincing yourself. You're not convincing God. Did you know God already knows His Word is true? That's great revelation knowledge for you. His Word, He knows it. He knows it'll bring exactly what He said it would bring every single time without exception. Who doesn't know that is you and me. Who you're ministering to is you. Until finally it's like the day star arises and one day you go, oh, I am healed. And then you keep saying it even after that. But the day will come, you'll walk free. You'll get your healing. We're going to get into some practical things here in a minute. Yes, sir. No, he wants me to do it now. Now, for example, I can show you x-rays from 5 years ago now of my back showing that I have two vertebrae that are bone on bone. They were bone on bone, or almost. There might be a 1/16 of an inch then, 5 years ago. But I have two vertebrae that have, you know, the disc that separates it is supposed to be there. It ain't there. And this was 5 years ago. Bone on bone, let me just tell you, hurts. It hurts a lot. Okay? Well, then that caused me to have less activity. It's hard to exercise. And besides that, if I let my body get lazy, it gets lazy like anybody else's. I've always been a pretty hard worker, but when you have a lot of pain, I'm just saying. Well, now, in my prayer time and in my confession time, especially as you begin listening to the Holy Ghost, He started giving me some instructions. Like, you know, it would help if you'd lose some of that blubber. He didn't say it that way. He didn't say it that way. That's the way I'm saying it. But He was real nice, okay? And it'd help if, you know, it'd help your joints if you, you know, take some of that blubber off. See, that's my... Okay, I'll just go ahead and do this now, okay? I thought we was going to do this later. See, there's our part and His part. You do know that no matter what I do... And medical science, there's nothing I can do, and at this point, nothing medical science can do to create a new disc, or a new cushion between those two vertebrae. See, medical science, what they would do if I let them, and that's what they've told me they should do, is fuse those two together. That's what's commonly done. Trouble is, everybody I know that's had that done had more trouble after than they had before. But not everybody. I'm sure there's exceptions, but the ones that I know. Well, I know somebody who makes the stuff. He's asking me, Gary, how long are you going to keep putting up with that? And I'm going, I don't know. He said, don't you think, you know, you're 66. Isn't that about enough? I'm thinking, well, probably. So in prayer, he started talking with me about getting some blubber off. Now, see, he can't do that for me. Did y'all know in these prayer lines, we can cast out devils, but we can't cast out flesh? We can't do it. He has to get me to go to war against my flesh. My flesh don't like discipline. My flesh don't like it. So, okay, I have this little thing here. I'm just preaching about Gary. I'm not saying anything about you at all. Okay, I'm not saying anything about you. So I'm going to God. God, I need a miracle in my back. I'm telling you, God, I need a miracle in my back. The doctors tell me there's nothing they can do except fuse my discs together. And that's not the way you made me, God. I know you can make the cartilage or whatever that stuff that is. I know you can make it, God. I'm coming to you for my healing. And let's say I already had my scriptures lined up. You only need two or three, by the way, about two or three witnesses. You don't need every healing verse in the Bible. But you need, you know, so let's say I gave him three, you know. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. Lord, you bless my bread. You bless my water. And you take sickness away from the midst of me. Glory to God. I'll throw in an extra one for a bonus. You restore my youth. Renew my youth like the eagle. Hallelujah. I've done my part. And I pray in tongues. And he says, you might want to lose a little weight. I'll say, Lord, I need healing. He says, I know. I'm going to heal you, now don't get me wrong, he'll heal me. Let's say he healed me through a grace line, and he has. Okay, let's do that, because this really did happen. Y'all were here probably the time that Dave prayed for me and did the thing, you know, you know what I mean by that? The hands go up, down, up, down. And, I mean, even Mary was there that night, and as we were going out, she said, Gary, I think you're taller. And I said, I think I am too. I felt about a quarter inch taller. And I mean instant pain reduction. It wasn't like zero, but I mean, if it was a 10 before, it was a 2. And it stayed that way for a while. But then, little by little by little, started coming back on me. So I tried to do the at home. It didn't work with a doggone. It's funny, I can pray for other people, and they do the and they get healed. You know, I go home and get in the mirror, nothing. I don't know. Well, it's because he's wanting permanent solutions for me. See, it's go and sin no more. So now in my Gary parable, God, I need permanent healing now. I need permanent healing. I can't follow Dave to Brazil and everywhere in Japan and everywhere that Dave goes to get him to eat me every time, God. God, I need permanent healing, God. He says, well, what's your diet? Now, I'm making this up. Sue knows it's not true, but I'm trying to make a point. My diet is potato chips and soda pop. Really? He says, what about your exercise regimen? I have a good one. I use this finger to use the remote all the time. That channel, this channel, volume up, volume down. And then sometimes when Sue's walking through, I say, Sue, I'll give you $1,000 for a cup of coffee. Because I'm hoping she'll go get it for me so I don't have to get up. That's my exercise regimen. My right finger on the remote, you know. He said, but I'd say, well, I'm going to confess your word for healing, and I'm going to pray in tongues, and I'm expecting you to heal me, God, permanently now, permanently, but I'm not willing to change my diet or my exercise regimen at all. And did you know, I'd hate to tell you the number of times his mercy and grace has helped me anyway, in spite of myself. Now, I don't eat, Sue knows, I do not eat potato chips or Pepsi. It's other things. Anyway, I ain't asking about your things. Be quiet. So then, you know, Dave says, pray in tongues. So I pray in tongues, you know. Then you begin, the problem with praying in tongues is you begin to hear from God. See? People say, I have a problem. What's your problem? I can't hear from God. Brother Gary, I just can't hear from God. Tell you what, we'll dust off this chair. This is a good one right here. Just sit right here. Come every day. Spend some time praying in tongues. Or you can do it at home. It doesn't have to be this chair. But just spend, and you know, after a few months of doing that, you're going to have a bigger problem than you had before. I got a big problem now. What's your problem? I did what you told me. Yeah. Here's my big problem. What is it? I heard God. He's wanting me to change what I eat. He's wanting me to join a gym, Brother Gary. He's wanting me to join. Now, those of you that's known our testimony, when I was in my 40s, see, Sue and I were 45 the day that we walked through the prayer center here. And I had a job driving trucks at that time. And I'd been driving trucks for 4 years before we got here. Well, there's not a lot of exercise with driving trucks. And at that time, I was way too big for somebody in his 40s. I was too heavy. But I started doing the message. I started praying in other tongues and in the cab of the trucks. You all know all that. And sure enough, the Lord started dealing with me then about losing 40 pounds. Well, I argued back with the Lord. Your mind will normally do that. Excuses. Here we go. Excuses. God, I'm stuck in this truck. I can't be exercising, God. I mean, I've got to shift the gears. I got to, you know, and Lord, I have to stop at these truck stops. They don't give me any choice. I have this regimented places where I have to stop. And you know how that, you know, the food they serve in there, God, you know, it's not good food, God. So I'm giving him all these excuses. Trouble of it is I kept praying in tongues. If you keep praying in tongues, he won't leave you alone. So a little by little, he began to get it across to me. If I could show you a way, even with this job you have, if I could show you a way to lose that 40 pounds, would you be interested? Well, I guess, you know, if you could show me a way. He began to give me a way to do it. And in my 40s, it's still available from our, I don't know if it's at the website or not, but it's available if you ask for it. It's called the Diet Buster. He gave me instructions that worked almost like magic. I mean, in just a few months, I lost 40 pounds without changing exercise. I did have to change what I ate at the truck stops, and I had to change how frequently I ate. I had to eat more often, smaller amounts. It had to do with your metabolism. Can't get into all that tonight. But now here's the point. That worked almost like magic in my 40s. I do that same thing now in my 60s, and I gain weight. What worked in my 40s does not work in my 60s. You know, I lost that 40 pounds without any exercise at all, other than what I was already done. I just changed what I was eating, and whammo, zappo, 40 pounds. I do that same thing now. I'm actually eating less now than I did on that diet. But I'm heavier. Why? Well, his instructions now, at age 66, he says, you ever hear about a gym? We're talking about GYM, where they do the E word. There's the dreaded F word, fasting. Then there's the dreaded E word, exercise. Oh no! Has it come to that? So then, excuses. The pain, God. I have all this pain. Can't do it. He said, some of them you can do. Go do the ones that you can do. Well, there are certain ones of those machines. So I did. I went and joined a gym. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're talking about our part. You could call it your obedience. You could call it how you steward your body. Okay? But mainly it's obedience. When you start hearing from him, it's really up to you whether you're going to obey him or not. Well, anyway, I did. I joined the gym. I found certain things over there that I can do. And I started doing it. And again, I did have to change my diet. I've lost 13 pounds so far. Got 32 to go. But it's a long journey, but you got to start somewhere. See? Now, the thing of it is, though, it's always our choice whether to obey or not obey. He's never going to force you to do anything. Yes, sir. Now, but the point is this. I can do those things, and I can help get some weight off. I should be doing that anyway, but I can't still make cartilage in my back. I still can't make any discs. See, there's our part, then there's his part. His part is in his word. You got that? His part is in his word. In order for me to receive his part, which is the supernatural, I'm prophesy over Gary Carpenter. I will have new discs in my back. The x-rays will see it, and I'll show them the before x-rays and the after x-rays, and they'll say, what surgery did you have? I said, my surgeon is named Jesus Christ. Because there is no other alternative if I will plant his word and keep it in the soil of my heart until I have that image manifest. There is no plan. There is no other option. His word works every time for anybody. I'm always nice. He's always mean to me and nice to you. I don't know. Okay, so let me say that sentence again. Now, this is in reference to Mark 4, verses 26 through 29. You know, where the man planted the seed in the ground. He rose night and day. And eventually, though, you get the harvest. See, just don't dig up the seed like it's not working. So the sentence I said there, the manifestation of his power is no more complicated than planting and nurturing the word. Now, I'll just tell you straight. The enemy has no effective weapon against the word of God. There's nothing he can do to stop the power of God's word. What he has to get us to do is to abandon God's word. He can't stop. He has nothing that will stop the power that's in God's word. There's nothing he has that, like, it's not like God has his power coming to you and the devil gets in the way. No. He has to get you to, the devil, the enemy, has to get you somehow to abandon the word. Jesus told us the only effective strategy the devil has to nullify the word of God. And again, it's in Mark 4, verses 14 through 20. Now, I'm going to read it to you. I know you know it by heart. But then I'm going to say it in a little different way, and I hope it impacts your brain different. Mark 4, verses 14 through 20 says, the sower soweth the word. You got that? The sower, you are the sower now. The sower soweth the word. You can sow the word for healing. You can sow the word for finances. You can sow the word for salvation. You can sow the word for the deliverance of your kids. You can sow it for all kinds of things, but you're the one sowing it. Okay? The sower sows the word. And you're also the ground. You are the ground. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, one of the other gospel writers, he adds right there, he says, when they understandeth it not. Now, that's how he comes immediately to steal it. If you don't understand it, you didn't get the revelation of it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I like this better. Faith comes by hearing and understanding the word of God. Or you can say it this way. Faith comes by hearing, and you get the revelation of the word of God. You understand it. That's why Paul said he had become so dangerous to the devil. He said that demon was assigned against Paul to stop him because of the abundance of his revelations. Well, it's not a revelation if you don't understand it. But if you understand it, then it's a revelation. Okay, enough on that. So if you don't understand it, Satan will come immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. That's why sometimes, in the early days especially, Sue and I, Dave was teaching about 10 miles over our head when we first started coming here. I mean, we'd come in, we loved the you could feel the love, you could feel the presence of God. We loved watching the miracles that would happen. But when he would teach, we'd be driving home. And I'd say, baby, are you better? She'd go, yeah. I'd go, me too, but I don't know why. We didn't understand hardly a thing the man said. I got those tapes in the early days. I mean, literally, I wore them out over and over again until the understanding would come. I can preach him today almost as good as Dave. What I mean is, I remember those stories. He can start one, I can finish it. Still yet, after 20 years. Because I got it in me until I had the understanding of it. Okay. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. I can be healed. Glory to God. I can be prospered. Hallelujah. Receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves, so they endure but for a time. Now, endure, does that remind you of anything? Endurance is the key. They endure but for a time. How many people have come here? You don't uproot your family and move halfway across the country to come to the prayer center if you didn't get excited about the word that you heard. They got excited, but they didn't know they were going to come to the center of the bullseye and all hell was going to be unleashed against them if they start doing that. Welcome, you guys, these newbies. I'm glad to see you here. Glory. And they endured for a time, and some of them endured longer than others. But you got to endure till you win. See? Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, that's not happening by accident. He's afraid. You're going to get the revelation of it and walk in the power of it. He's afraid. He's got to stop you in the bud stage before the flower comes to full bloom. He's going to nip you in the bud. So that's one kind. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended and they run off and get mad at Dave and Tim and Gary and whoever else. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Now get this, the cares of this world. I tell everyone all the time, when they come to the conference and they get so excited, you know, the Power and Prayer Conference, man, when they leave here, they are full. They've been edified all week. We're going back to our home city and we are going to change the world. And I tell them all, I say, I know exactly the devil that's coming to you tomorrow. His name is Samo. Same old, same old. Back into the daily rut of life. Back into the daily, you got to deal with your boss. You got to deal with your spouse. You got to deal with your kids. You got to deal with the freezer that quit. You got to deal with this. You got to deal with that. And your cares of this world. And about a month later, you go, wasn't I going to pray? Wasn't I going to confess God's word? Wasn't I going to? What happened? Same old. Or the deceitfulness of riches. Now that's where you spend your life serving mammon, running after money instead of God. I know all about that. You can spend your whole life running after money, serving money. Or the lusts of other things entering in. That lust of other things very often is the God complex. You know, you get to be, oh, I'm something. God uses you a little bit and now you're Elijah to come. Good God. I like that story Dave tells when he was in Israel. He was in Israel and they had a prophet's room. And he found out, you know, they offered him to stay. He says, no, I've got a place. And they were telling him about, they had Elijah to come upstairs. Said another one came to the door. He said he was Elijah to come. We said, well, just go up and share the bunk. We've got another Elijah to come that's already in the prophet's room. You can go share with him. Lust of other things. God complex. Want to be worshipped in the place of God. All of those things choke the word. Now notice, they didn't remove the power of the word. That power was there the whole time. It chokes the word and makes it unfruitful. It's just exactly though, like, you know, you can't go plant corn. Just go plant it one day, leave for a year and come back and expect to find a corn crop. It's got to be tended. It's got to be watered. Weeds are going to try and get in there. You got to keep the weeds out. You have got to tend the word of God. Really, I'm seeing the picture right now of Adam in the garden. You know what his original assignment was? To tend and to keep the garden of God. You are God's garden. That new creature on the inside of you, who you really are, you are to tend and to keep the word of God on the inside of you until his will is accomplished. Boy, that was worth coming right there. Now that was good stuff. Nurture that word, and if the enemy comes to take it, you do what the first Adam did, and you kick that bum out. And you do it with the word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. Drive that rascal off. You keep God's garden. You are that garden. I like that. This is the only effective strategy that the enemy has. He can't stop the power in God's word. He has to distract you from it. He has to somehow get you to abandon it. Sometimes you just get weary in well-doing. I was listening to Pastor Bronk. He's doing a series right now called Faith 101. It's really good. But he was saying a doctor, and thank God for doctors. I thank God for anything that helps us until we get healed. Amen? Hey, if I have a headache, I'll take the Tylenol or the aspirin, and I'll thank God for it until I get delivered. But he was saying, talk about endurance a little bit. Sometimes if you have a serious disease, they may give you the red pill and the blue pill and say, now you got to take the red pill and the blue pill 3 times a day. And what you have is pretty serious. Now you may not even, you have to do this 3 times a day and you're probably not even going to notice any difference for about a month. But then really in about 6 months, if you be diligent, you'll be healed. And you know, people will do that. They'll go take the blue pill and the red pill 3 times a day, even for 30 days. And he already told them it's going to be 30 days before you feel anything. But they keep right on taking it. Yet they'll come to the pastor and they said, okay, I heard Gary preach that message last week. I got my scriptures out and I've been confessing them 15 minutes a day for a week. Where is God? How come I don't have my answer? Honey, endurance is the key. You didn't get in your situation in a week. It may take a little while to turn that ship, okay? You know, your life is like the Queen Mary. That rascal don't turn on a dime. James said, if you'll change the rudder, even on a big ship like the Queen Mary, you can turn that rudder. And if you'll leave it turned, you keep it right there, you can turn even the biggest ship. Well, your life is like that big ship. You got to change what you say. Your tongue is the rudder. You get God's word in your mouth. That's you got to bridle your tongue where it's only going to say what God says. And it may take a while. It may take 30 days. It may take 6 months. But I'm telling you, that ship has to turn. It has no choice. God's word, he already said, if you plant it, it will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. Glory to God. He will not lie. He cannot lie. Glory to God. Good stuff. Okay? Now, I'm going to say the same thing as Mark 4 that we just read, but I'm going to say it in different words. The enemy's weapons to nullify the word from producing in your life. Number one, lack of understanding. No true revelation. Number two, this is all based on what he said, lack of endurance. What did the Holy Spirit say? The very first meeting of the prayer center, that prophecy that's out there in the lobby? Endurance is the key. Endurance is the key. Number three, easily offended and quit when you're met with resistance through affliction or persecution for the word's sake. Offended and quit. I probably should have put on there, you need to develop no quitting sense. You have no quitting sense at all. Once you start, you don't quit till you win. People die by trying the word. No. Once you start this, it's unto death. It's unto death. You don't try it, see if it's going to work. That'll get you killed. You make your mind up. Is God a liar or is he not a liar? Is his word true or is it not true? If you're okay, and just be honest with him. It's okay if you're currently in a state of partial belief or semi-belief. Fine. Work on the part of you that doesn't believe until you do believe. You can work on you. You can change. I know that. I've done it myself. I had two rounds with cancer. I'm still here. Had a terminal heart disease that they say I'd always have to take that medicine for. I haven't taken a dose of it since May of 1998. I'm doing pretty good. There's no pacemaker in there. He gave me a new heart. He'll give you one too. That same God that gave me a new heart, you reckon he can make discs in my back? You reckon I'm waiting on him or he's been waiting on me this whole time? You're waiting on me. Now, I need to do my part, but I've got to trust him to do his part. And bless God, he will. If I get his word in me, the harvest will come. It comes every time. That's what Jesus said. So number three was easily offended, and they tend to quit when they're met with resistance through affliction or persecution. Number four, where he says the cares of this world, I wrote it this way, busyness. Not business, busy, B-U-S-Y-ness. Busyness with daily affairs and daily problems, and thereby you neglect the word. You're not tending the garden. You're not keeping the garden. You're busy. I am one of the world's worst at this. I have to fight this all the time. I like to work. I like to be busy. I have to watch it. I'll get so busy doing this or that, things that I shouldn't. I mean, they're okay. They're good things. You know, they help people and bless people. But it's not tending the garden. It's not doing the primary thing that I'm supposed to be doing. Busyness. How did I say that earlier? He's stealing our lives one day at a time with busyness. Oh, I'm gonna confess the word. I am. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I remember the last time you taught this, Gary. I remember then I was going to get out three verses on my problem, whatever my problem is. I was going to get out those three verses and start getting them in my mouth. Yeah, that was 2 years ago. Point number five, chasing after riches. I don't think we have many of those in this audience, but chasing after riches by serving mammon instead of God. And then number six, we don't have many of these either, thank God. Ego, the God complex. Wanting to be exalted in man's eyes. That's how the enemy stops the word. That's how he does it. All right, moving on now. I want to remind you of a lesson I did a year or two ago called Intercession by Faith. All right, now up until now, we've been pretty much talking about you getting the kingdom manifest in your house. Let's say in your life, in your body, in your spouse, in your house, that rhymes, in your family. Okay, whatever is needed, all right? But now we're going to move into Luke 11. We're going to move into bread for others, okay? Delivering the bread from our Father's table to somebody else. I want to remind you of that lesson, and if you never heard it, or if you've only heard it once, or it's called Intercession by Faith. And I want to remind you, through prayer, you can intercede and cause God's power to be manifest for other people. You can do it. You don't even have to be related to them. And I give you that by, let me give you two witnesses, by two or three witnesses. You can look them up for yourself. You remember the centurion? This guy was a Roman centurion, did not have a covenant, did not even have a covenant with God at the time. That's why he was being real nice to Jesus. Jesus said he would come and heal the servant. He says, no, you don't need to come under my roof. He was doing that to be nice to Jesus because it was illegal for a Jew to come under the roof of a Gentile. He says, just speak the word only and my servant will be healed. This guy had faith. But what I want you to understand now, he came to Jesus to get healing for basically what we today would say an employee. And the amazing thing is, we're not told one single thing about that employee. You don't know if he was a good man, a bad man. You don't know if he had faith, didn't have faith. You don't know if he, you don't know anything. And why? Why is it left that way? Because God wanted us to get it. That servant got healed on the intercessor's faith. And you can go to God and start speaking his word over people and you can get healing for them with your faith. Intercession by faith. A second witness, the woman from Canaan who had a daughter who was grievously vexed of a devil. She didn't have a covenant with God either. She's a woman of Canaan. She's the one, you know, Jesus said, healing is the children's bread, you know. She had faith beyond the covenant. She was actually reached into the next dispensation with her faith. She said, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Glory to God. She got healing for her daughter through intercession by faith. And we're not told anything about that daughter. She might have been a horrible daughter. Now, she might have been a good one too. I don't know. But the point is, it doesn't matter. The intercessor got deliverance for the daughter, and the daughter's faith had nothing to do with it. That's amazing to me. You can start serving the bread to other people through this same method. They say, well, they came to Jesus. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God. The Logos was God. Later on it says, and the Logos was made to be flesh and dwelt among us. He is the Word. You go to the Word. You're going to Jesus. He came to show you. It's like God had prophesied through the prophets all through the years what he was like, and they still didn't get it. So he says, Jesus, he put on flesh to come and show you what the Father's like. But he's still manifesting God's Word. You have the access to the Word of God. You have access to the power of God. You can get healing and deliverance for other people with your faith, or those stories need to be taken out of the Bible. They don't need to be taken out because it's true. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, forever. All right. He sent his word and healed them. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Again, I remind you, if you have seen the Word, you have seen Jesus. And if you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. You can have what the Word says you can have. The image in the seed is yours for the harvesting. God, that's good right there. It's yours. It's yours. But you need to tend and keep your garden. Plant some seed. Find out what is it you need. I guarantee you there's no need of man that's not contained in God's Word. Everything you need is in here. All right, now I want to remind you of some difficult cases. See, by the time you're age 66, you have lots of time for excuses. Well, this God, and well, that God. I've been this way for a long time, God. You know, every time I start complaining at all, I have to be real careful around my 92-year-old mother. You know, I mean, she's just great. I mean, the doctor doesn't even want to see her but once a year. And that's just to get her. The only medicine she takes is she takes this one little mild blood pressure medicine, real mild. And that's the only medicine she takes. But the doctor says, I got to see you once a year or I won't renew that prescription, you know. So I just recently, a month or so ago, took her to the doctor and he's going through all of his questions. Now she's 92 years old. And he's just going through a whole list. And one of them is, now Miss Carpenter, are you experiencing any headaches? And she says, Sonny, I've never had a headache a day in my life. Isn't that amazing? But she'll hear me maybe complaining, oh, you know, I'm 66, oh, my back, you know. She'll just give me a little slap on the back of the head, you know, smack. 66? I remember 66. 66 is great. What are you complaining about? Well, it's the truth, see. I should not be complaining. Now, for complainers, we have some verses. How about, it's been a long time. I've had this situation a long time, God. Well, one good one. There's more than one, but this would be a good one. How about Luke 13, verses 11 through 13? This is the woman who was bowed over for 18 years. Turn to somebody and say, 18 years. That's a long time. Amen? So behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. There was nothing she could do. There is no obedience here. It's not losing weight won't help. Diet won't help. She's been this way for 18 years. There's nothing she can do. This is strictly a God thing. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. Immediately she was made straight. That's how my back is going to be. One of these days, immediately, shoom, I'm going to be taller, and I'm going to have that disc in there. And there's going to be no more pain. Amen? I'm going to tend my garden. I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to let the devil come and steal nothing. And that's just one part of our garden. Sue and I are getting this together in for each of us personally, for our house, for our kids, for our grandkids. Then we're coming after you. No. An intercession to serve bread to the others. What I'm saying. Hallelujah. Law, having something a certain way a long time, you can get rid of that excuse. 18 years didn't make a lick to Jesus. It doesn't make a lick to the Word of God. Immediately, after 18 years, she was made straight. I love it. Glory to God. Well, God, but mine's hard. You don't understand, God. My miracle is hard. Even medical science doesn't have an answer for my problem, God. Mm-hmm. Beyond medical help, are you? How about Mark chapter 5? Verses 25 through 34. Now, y'all know this story. It's a woman with the issue of blood. Let me just read it to you again. Then a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. So we got both now. We got law. Turn to somebody and say 12 years. 12 years is a long time. I mean, she had this issue of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things of many physicians. Now, we thank God for physicians. But at this time in history, they were not able to help her and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. So now, yeah, spent all that she had. So now she's not only sick, she's broke. Wonderful. Wonderful, you know. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, and if you look it up in the Amplified, it says, for she continually said. She was saying it over and over. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, here we go again. That means right now, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Now get this, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Whose faith? Her faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. Maybe you don't have full understanding of it. Maybe you don't have faith in your heart. Maybe you've just heard it in your head. Get it in your mouth. It will get in your heart. Keep it in your mouth. You're going to be ministering to your own soul for a while. But every time you say it, it's like a bucket of water being poured into the reservoir. You're getting stronger and stronger. One day that word will make a journey from your head to your heart. Faith is of the heart. It's like that day I stepped across that threshold into another room. I said, we don't live there anymore in that poverty, and bless God, we never have. Never will either. And then, see, that was three verses he had me say. Now, I hate to say that I had to do it for so long. You talk about endurance and felt like I was crazy, and the devil would. When you do this, I'm telling you, the thoughts are going to come like machine gun bullets. This is not working. You're wasting your time. This is not accomplishing anything. You need to order a burial plot. You know, or whatever. You know, I mean, that's the kind of stuff he comes with. You have to endure that kind of stuff until you got to tend the garden, keep the garden from that kind of thing, until you harvest that image that's on the inside of the seed of the Word of God. And you'll get it every time. There is no such thing as not getting it. I heard somebody ask this back in the 80s. It was the verse that says, What things soever you desire, when you pray, believing, you shall have it. It's not Mark's account. It was like, I think it was Matthew's. And so somebody came for the service and said, My Aunt Susie, she loved God. She played piano in the church for 35 years. And she asked God to heal her, and she believed that she received, but she died. What about her? I'll never forget this till the day I die. First time my Baptist ears had ever heard anything like this. He said to her, How can you know somebody like that when, since the beginning of time, there has never been anybody like that? What he's saying is there are no exceptions to God's word. God's word is truth. He finished up saying, if your Aunt Susie died, now no matter what she told you or how she talked, she did not believe she received when she prayed. She might have talked a good game, but it might have all been out of her head and not in her heart. That's the truth. But the good news about that is God's not a liar. His word will work for everybody that does this. All right. One more excuse and then I'm going to run for the car. No. It's getting quieter the longer I preach. Sue says, good preaching, baby. I like it when she... I like her. I'm going to take her home. Glory to God. How about one more? Excuses. How about birth defects? My God, Gary... Birth defects. Did you know that's in the Word of God? I give you two of them. The man born lame from his mother's womb in Acts chapter 3, verse 2. You remember that? The man, you don't have to turn there, but the man that was, it plainly says, a certain man lame from his mother's womb. That's that guy that was at the gate beautiful. When Peter and John came by, and he was asking alms, he was begging for money. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And immediately, here we go again, immediately his ankle bones were strengthened and he leapt and was jumping. And everybody there knew him. He'd been begging there for years, you know. So they're all trying to, oh man, Peter and John, you guys are great. And he's going, why look on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man whole? It is that name through faith in that name. Now listen, that name and faith in that name will even cure birth defects. Did you hear me? The man was born lame from his mother's womb. How about a second witness by two or three witnesses? How about the man that was born blind? That's John chapter 9. His disciple, it starts off, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" I like how Dave always says that one. He says, now, what are they asking here? The baby in his mother's womb did what? Did he kick too hard? Is that how he sinned? Who sinned? That he was born blind. If he's born blind, he had to sin before he was born. Had to be in his mother's womb. It's crazy, see? Religion will make you nuts. It just will. It'll make you nuts. So Jesus just plainly tells him, he says, well, neither one of them. He says, but that the works of God may be seen. And he goes right over and he heals the guy. Well, later on, they interrogate him. You know, now tell us again. Tell us again. How were you? They brought in his parents. Is this your son? Yeah, and we know it's our son. Well, how is he seeing? You'll have to ask him that. They didn't want to get in trouble with the Pharisees. You ask him yourself. So they're asking him again. And he told them, he said, this man, he came, he prayed, I see. And they asked him again. He says, I've already told you once. Are you guys wanting to be his disciples too? And they didn't like that very much. So that they kicked him out of the church, basically. They excommunicated him. But Jesus come and found him and says, all right, they may kick you out of church, but nobody can take you out of my Father's hand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I am come that you might have life more abundantly. That abundant life, he wants you seeing, hearing, walking without pain. I mean, if you want to see how good your God is, look at Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What if Jesus came to dwell at your house? What all blessings of your Father would accompany him? He is dwelling at your house. And you can have all of those blessings. It's called the Word of God. Plant His Word. Tend it. Keep it. Don't let the devil come steal it. Don't get too busy to go tend your crop. Confess it. Pray in the Spirit. If He gives you instructions, obey those. You will have your harvest every single time. Did you get anything out of that? Now see, that's hallelujah. That's the macro version. It's all His Word. I didn't do it for the applause. That's the macro version. Now, sure, you all know there's all kinds of things. Forgiveness does play a role in this. See, you're accountable. Now, I'll tell you, though, He hasn't changed. God is so good. And don't ask me how I know this. You can be full of problems. Don't ask me how I know this. You could maybe be sinning a little bit. Maybe more than a little bit. And He'll still manifest a healing for you. But He will tell you, go and sin no more. And if you're a praying person, He'll begin to instruct you by His Spirit, not only to go and sin no more, but how you can change certain things in your life, like forgiveness. See, I could take you back again now. God saved us, healed us, delivered us. He delivered me from alcohol. Without even I've never had a symptom to this day. I've never had another drink, and that was 33 years ago. And that's glory to God. But He did that when my heart was full of unforgiveness towards, especially this one, you know, these two people, this one couple. I mean, I hated them. I wanted them to die. I wanted to do the killing. Is that enough for you? He delivered me from alcohol anyway. But then as I went on with Him, you know, I didn't know about praying in tongues then like I know now, but Michael had let us know enough. And, you know, praying and listening. But He just started telling me, He says, now you're not going to go very far with me unless you forgive that couple. Y'all have heard that story. I said, well, I don't want to forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. He said, well, you know, I don't want to forgive them at all. I want them to die and I want to do the killing. He said, well, you're not going to go very far with me unless you forgive them. Well, I want to go with you. Well, you're going to have to forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. This went on for a while. I'm not going to teach that again, but he kept dealing with me until he got me to start praying for them. And eventually that started a process in my heart of change. And sure enough, it got to where not only did I forgive them, he started then showing me my part in the ugly mess. Before it was over, I saw that I was more wrong than they were. I was asking for forgiveness more than I was needing to forgive them. So you are accountable, but listen, but he'll still bless you. I mean, he's gooder than you are bad. That's bad English, but that'll preach, won't it? He is gooder than you are bad. God is a good God, and something good is going to happen to you today. You hear me? Go to his word. Get your harvest. Let's quit messing around. Get the harvest of God going. Okay, I got to quit. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this message. Lord, it really blessed me. It really blessed me. It's got a fire burning in my belly again, Lord, and that's a good thing. So, Father, we're looking forward to harvest not only in our own lives and in our households and in our families, but, Father, we're looking forward to serving that bread off of your table to a lost and dying religious world. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, that the truth of who you are, that you cannot lie, and that's why we can have faith in your word. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen.